because they were sad and discouraged over what had happened. He then was told by a media person that they were throwing it at the referees. And he said of the fans, I credit them. He said, credit to them. The NFL was pretty deeply upset about this and fined Mr. Prescott $25,000. Now, for his salary, that's not much. For most of us, that's the car we've been dreaming of. But as he did apologize, he went on Twitter and said, I deeply regret the comments that I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of the disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair. He continued, I hold the NFL officials in high regard and always respect them, their professionalism, and they have a difficult job. Safety is everyone who attends the game, whether they are participants on the field of the sporting event, is a very serious matter. I was mistaken on behalf, and I am sorry. They still find him. And what was very interesting to me was not so much the article, was the comments. And they ranged from people saying that he got off too lightly to people saying this is no big deal. And it's very interesting how we love to judge another. This would be based on whether you're an actual Cowboys fan or not. Whether you like Dak Prescott or not. Whether you think he's a good quarterback or not. That in the reality is your judgment is already set. Now his actions will be determined. Your already pre-judgment, or as we just simplify the word prejudice, is going to determine how you react on that situation. If you're a Cowboys fan, you'll go, well, they all do it. If you're not a Cowboys fan, you'll say, you got off too lightly. And so the interesting is the reaction we have and how we judge another. I want to preach a sermon that I've entitled, Time Will Tell, on the thought of judging and accountability. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court, or in fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before its time, until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise shall come from God. Let's talk firstly about a generation that hates accountability and responsibility. Because that's what we live in. They hate both accountability and responsibility. We see this play out in all areas of life. It was very interesting to watch some of President Trump's impeachment trials. And to see that 15 years ago, when things were totally reversed, when they were impeaching Bill Clinton, how certain politicians made certain statements. But now that the other party was in the hot seat or on the aggression, how that totally changed. And how both of them were witch hunts, and both of them have now destroyed a fundamental understanding of our politics. that has created such difficulty. And it has to do with the fact that they prejudged those presidents based on the party that they served. Bill Clinton, the whole investigation started over Whitewater and ended with Monica Lewinsky. Let's start with money, and we can't find anything there, so let's go to morals. Let's start with, you know, Russia collusion and end up with just trying to finally badger people into finally committing perjury. Because we'll ask you the same question 17,000 different ways, and then when there's one slight variance in your answer, we're going to bust you on that. And that's all they were. That's all both of them ended up being. But it's so decisive. And you watch the from Schumer to Mitchell to all these other political players and how their hypocrisy comes out, because they don't want to be held account for what they said 15 years ago, that this should never happen. We see this in our fatherless generation. Men who don't mind making babies, but they don't want to raise them. Don't hold me accountable. Don't hold me responsible. We see people like athletes that can act like pigs off the field. Don't hold me accountable. Look at my talents. Look at my abilities. Look at what I've done. Don't make me responsible for that. And this is our generation, because it's easy to fill newspapers with what everyone else is doing wrong rather than evaluating yourself. This is where it begins, and this is what people hate. We can easily point out others' mistakes. In fact, to say with a football analogy, they call it Monday morning quarterbacking. That some man, like myself, 55 years old, who could never get on a football field and throw a ball more than 10 yards, never mind get hit just once. If I had a 325-pound lineman coming at me at 25 miles an hour and he hit me, I don't care how many pads I have, I'm not getting up. I'm just not getting up. Nope. Get the cart, take me off the field, I'm going home. Right? But then to tell people in that place how bad they are. There's a man named Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn worked for ESPN. He was criticizing one of the Angels, Anaheim Angels pitchers. I mean, just criticizing. They should get rid of this guy. Well, he ends up on the show. This guy wants to fight Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn's not exactly a fighter. He's a politician. He's a reporter, rather. He's just, you know, he's not an athlete. But he could criticize, because it's easy to do that. They say of people, this was made of actors, but it's true of many. Those who can't act well enough to get a job teach acting to those who are up and coming. Those who aren't good enough to get a teaching job will work for a newspaper as a critic. It's easy to do that, because that doesn't require any accountability or responsibility. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 7, 3 through 5, "Why do you look for the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, there's a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." What he's saying there is, if you got a log sticking out of your eye, why are you worried about just a little thing in your brother's life? Don't make me accountable for this. I'd rather criticize that. The Bible makes it clear that the issue is the measure that you use. Right before he talks about the speck, he makes that statement. Jesus makes the statement, "Judge, do not judge, judge not, let that you be not judged. For with the judgment that you use, you will be judged. The measure that you use will be measured back to you. The Message Bible says, don't pick on people and jump on their faults and criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. The term, the same measure that you use, Jesus uses this in giving. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, good measure. Running over, men shall give into your bosom. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. But if you read the previous verse, he says, judge not, lest you be judged. Condemn not, lest you be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So he's not just including giving there. He's including a whole range of issues of life that you measure or will receive back that which you get, which you give. Even in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, he talks about lists hearing. Take heed with what you hear, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He who hears more will be given. So you have to ask yourself, are you using the same measure? Are you using an honest measure that you could live up to? Are you using an honest response to what you could? See, the Corinthian church was unbalanced. It's, you begin to read in the first couple of chapters, Paul is trying to encourage them. He's trying to bring them, you know, God is faithful and he's going to help us and all that. And he says, you know, I'm sending Timothy to you, and, you know, don't forget that, you know, you're building on a foundation, and Paul and, you know, and Apollos was there and Peter was there. And of course, you're part of Christ, and there's some divisions among you about that. But, you know, and then he gets into the issues after chapter 5. They've got a guy who's sleeping with his stepmother, and they won't judge it. So he spends a couple of chapters on that. They've got others who are condemning new converts because they're eating things, meat sacrificed to idols, which they weren't going to the temples and doing, but some of the excess meat that was sacrificed to idols wasn't getting eaten, so they'd sell it in the marketplace. And, you know, and some would say, well, I paid cash for it. I bought it. I didn't go to the temple. And others are saying, well, don't you know where that came from? You know, and it's evil and that, and they're having all this. There's two brethren who are suing each other. And this is obviously a big court case going on, and this is creating all sorts of rifts in the church. And then there gets into the doctrinal issues. They had all these problems with doctrine. Jesus has already come. We missed the rapture, you know. And, you know, maybe he's not coming. And so Paul's got to correct that. They've got a whole problem with just all sorts of doctrines that he has to deal with. Now to balance church. And one of the issues that he deals with is they were judging his ministry. Ah, he's fierce when he's here, but he's fierce with the pen, but when he's here, he's just a little kitten, and who is he? And 1 Corinthians 4:3, he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or in a human court, for in fact I do not judge myself. Paul is trying to right the ship of the church. He's trying to bring them back on course. And people, of course, are resisting. And he says, you know what? You can have all the opinions you want, but is it right? And he makes a couple of statements in our text. He says, first, let's consider that a servant of God, steward of God, some texts, he's steward of the mysteries, and it is required that one be found faithful. Now, faithfulness, which we'll get to in a second, but first quality of faithfulness that we have to see is found over time. You can't miss that faithfulness is found over time, because something that started once, if your car started once every 7 days, you wouldn't call it faithful. You'd call it a lot of things, but faithful would not be among them. If your refrigerator worked once every 3 days, you wouldn't call it faithful. See, time is a great revealer of the heart. 177 times in the Bible is the term, "and it came to pass." And that always implies time. That there was time involved in this. Some of that might be not long. Some of that might take years and possibly even decades. That time is the great revealer of lots of things. The Holy Spirit, of course, can reveal things very quickly, and I understand that. But you know what? Something about time. Jesus tells a parable of two brothers in Matthew chapter 21. And he says to them, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first one and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not work.' But afterwards he regretted, and he went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he said, 'Father, I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say unto you that tax collectors and harlots shall enter the kingdom of God before you." It's one thing to pay lip service. It's one thing to say you'll do certain things. It's another to actually do them. Obedience in the same direction, very critical for a long time. The issue of the word that he uses here is faithfulness. Now, faithfulness literally comes from the thought of being full of faith. Right? Thankfulness. I am very thankful. I'm full of being thankful. Faithful. I'm full of faith. Anyone can do anything for a short time. Don't raise your hand, but how many, let's just do it this way. It's January. All the health and the fitness places will have their sales. And people will go and buy membership cards. But very interesting that the rise of obesity in the United States and the rise of fitness clubs actually parallel. And there's one reason, there's many reasons why people say this. There's also the fast food, the junk food, all this kind of stuff that came out around, things have progressed and all that. But one of the very interesting factors is that people, they believe their intentions are enough. Right? If I buy a membership card to Joe's Fitness, I must be doing good. And then they don't go. And a membership card in your wallet isn't going to help you get in shape. Just saying. Don't ask me why I know that. I'm just saying. Right? Faithfulness has to be seen over the long term. 1 Timothy 1:12, "I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Doing something once or getting a little progress in something is great, but it's not enough. I have been telling myself for Let's see, Jason is 8. He'll be 9. So I've been telling myself for probably 7 years, I'm going to learn Dutch. And ik spreek een beetje Nederlands. I speak a little Dutch. That's about one of the 3 terms I know. Ik begrijp het alles. I understand everything, right? That's what I'll tell them anyway. And they always laugh. Doing something, getting a little progress is one thing, but staying the course. Being faithful to be able to move forward. How do we do that? We have to judge ourselves. We have to bring it into the thought that, you know what? Evaluate ourselves. God is moved with consistency of life. God really is. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. What does he tell the 2 who bring back more talent, who double their talent? The Lord said unto them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. There are a number of parables where it is linked to your faithfulness now, even with the small things, that will bring you into larger things. I was thinking about this with the disciples, that, you know, they basically started as crowd management. That was kind of their first assignment. Make them sit down in groups of 50, right? Help them through it. Jesus just, it's where they started. He didn't start with theology. He just started basically, they were ushers. And out of that grew something tremendous that they had the ability to move forward and on because they were faithful with that. God responds to faithfulness. Luke 16:10, he who is faithful with the least is faithful also with much, but he who is unjust with the least is also unjust with the much. He goes on to talk about how this will open doors down the road, how we handle things, the stewardship of life. This could be in areas Jesus talks about, how this could be ministry or money or different things. But see, in our world, they put talent over faithfulness. They put money over faithfulness. They put ability over faithfulness. Good looks over faithfulness. That's what the world values. But faithfulness opens doors. God uses that. 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this reason I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in all things as I teach everywhere in every church. Peter writes and says, but Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written you briefly, exhorting you to testify of the grace of God in which you stand. These were marks of 2 men that were considered faithful. So let's now bring the understanding of our text, because you have the issue of judging and the issue of faithfulness and how they become intertwined in that reality. God is looking over time. Paul says it's a small thing that I would be judged by you, but it's not irrelevant. I would judge myself, and we're going to look at that, but that's not even the final case, because I know that I'm not robbing banks, committing adultery, doing drugs. I know that. But he makes this statement in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before its time until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. That he says time will play on and reveal things. Time in your life is going to reveal your faithfulness. What's really going on? Others may judge you. And sometimes we need to be judged by others. This is what a teacher's job is to do. She doesn't, you know, how many of you ever said in school, I'm not passing that course because that teacher hates me? And the reality is you weren't doing the work. Right? You can't shuck and jive this one. Maybe you could smile and, you know, whatever with another one. But others will judge you, but Paul says that's not the final judgment. We're making assessment of people all the time. Bosses. Other drivers on the road. Friends, spouses. It's not always wrong, but you can't see the whole picture. In ministry, we're actually going to have a election for a council member this morning. Three fine men who fit the qualification found in Acts chapter 3. The 12 summoned the multitudes and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, seek out brethren among you, men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and of wisdom. They've got to have those three qualifications. We're making judgments on that. Right? That we're not just... There's a process of church discipline. As a pastor, I have to make judgments sometimes. You are not going to continue in that behavior and come here. There's three reasons behind that. One is, it's not good for you. You think you can come to church, be immoral, be unrighteous, be disobedient, and nothing's, no consequence, no big deal. That's not healthy for you. Secondly, it's not healthy for the church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That set of morals and doctrines. 1 Corinthians is morals. Galatians is doctrines. Have to judge it. The third is, it's not healthy for the unbeliever. When people outside the church know you're doing that, then what do they think of the church in general? I wouldn't go there. Place is full of hypocrites. Matthew 18 tells us that when you have an ought with your brother, how to handle that. You go to them. You try to work it out. If that doesn't work, you take some witnesses. If that doesn't work, you take them to the church. And that could be the pastor or the counselor, different things like that. Titus tells us in Titus 3 of 10 and 11, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being self-condemned. That sometimes we do have to make choices. But that's not the whole story. Because I've had to make decisions like that. That's not necessarily all their future. They can repent. They can go on and serve God. He doesn't say it's a useless thing. But he does say, you know what? There's going to be people with all sorts of opinions. And their opinions are not going to be based on their ability or their level, just like judging an athlete when you can't even begin to do what they do. We have to judge ourselves. Paul says in our text, he goes, I know that I'm not doing anything that disqualifies me. Let's just start there. Are you committing adultery? Well, that's going to disqualify you. I don't know if you remember the Ten Commandments. That happened to be one of them. Just saying. If you're not living right, God can't help you. And you know what? You might come and nobody knows. We don't have, you know, in airports they'll have, you know, the full body scan. You got to go in, you stand like this, right? And they take this, you know, and they can tell with, you know, what you've got and if you've got anything and you know, metals, metallics, whatever, and even plastics. You're not supposed to have anything in your pockets, you know. And they can examine you and know. Well, I wish we had one of those for a church that could do the heart. Okay. Mad at your brother, huh? You're looking at websites you shouldn't be looking at. Haven't paid your tithe for a couple months. No wonder why you've got that struggle. We don't have that. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith and test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that you are in, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. You know, there are people who will commit adultery, steal, lie, cheat, whatever is going on, and they'll come to church and they'll raise their hands and they'll pretend nothing's wrong. And Paul says, you have disqualified yourself because you won't judge yourself. You won't examine yourself. You won't come clean when there's an issue. You're going to pretend everything's great. Very dangerous. 1 John 3, 20 and 21, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts who knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn you, you have confidence towards God. You know what's going on in your heart. I may not. But God does. You do. Isn't that enough? But when you have that, Paul says, you know what? I had a good week. I didn't kill anybody. Right? Didn't commit adultery, didn't steal, didn't lie, didn't do drugs, you know, you're going through that. You know, I get the little things of life. I'm not trying to condemn you here. I'm saying we've got to judge ourselves so that we don't lose what God has for us. But even that's not the final. But he says the Lord will judge. Judge nothing before it's time. Until the Lord comes. It's not speaking necessarily of the rapture. It's speaking, although a lot will be revealed on that moment. But he's saying that God will come at a time and he's going to deal with issues. And he's either going to reveal some bad things or he's going to reveal some good things. That each one's praise will come from God. And God will be faithful to show it out. See, God has a way of revealing both the good and bad. And he will. He's very, very good at that. Romans says, why do you judge your brother? Romans 14:10. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus tells a parable of the wheat and the tares. It says wheat was sown and the enemy came in and sowed some tares in, and immediately when they all sprouted up, the servant said, should we pull out the tares? And he said, nah, if you pull out the tares, you're going to maybe affect the wheat. See, God knows a timing issue of dealing with things. He knows how to expose things at the right time. And he'll deal with things. In the book of Revelations, in the church in Thyatira, there was a woman there who was teaching false doctrine. She was causing people to commit immorality and all this. And the mighty, amazing scripture is Jesus says, I gave her a space of time to repent, and she did not. God is faithful at dealing with you. You ever come to church and feel like the preacher could have dismissed everyone else? You know what? Everyone go home. You, come here, sit right here. We're going to have a little talk. Right? You ever feel that way? I felt that way in a Bible conference. hundreds of people around, and it's like, no, they're talking to me. I was sharing recently, you know, Kevin Foley, a couple of conferences ago, used an illustration that was so amazingly profound that he could not have known what that meant to me personally, because I talk with Pastor Foley probably once, maybe twice a year. No idea. And I felt like, you know what, that was directly for me. I don't know how that could have applied to anyone else in the 3,000 people who are here. I have no idea. But I know that was for me specifically. Right? God will do that. God has a way of doing that. He'll deal with us. He'll show us things. He'll reveal things very specifically. So then the issue comes down to, why are you worried about everyone else and not checking your own heart? And that's what Paul, in a very nice way here with the Corinthians, is saying. He says, a steward must be faithful. Faithful to the mysteries of God. It's got to be there. It's got to be in him. And you judging me? It's not unprofitable. You know, you should listen to critics. You know, I've shared that old expression, if one person calls you a donkey, ignore them. If 50 call you a donkey, buy a saddle. I mean, that's an obvious thing, right? Means, you know what, maybe it's something you need to change. But on the other side of that, can we look at ourselves and say, oh, that's that, this, that? Because God comes and he rewards. And God comes and he deals. And he exposes, he brings out. Accountability to one another is not a bad thing. That's why we'll do a business meeting. It's very good to be accountable, to be responsible. But ultimately, the judge that we all have to face is Jesus. And who we all have to deal with is ourselves. And that when we do that, God will help us. I do give Dak Prescott, and I'm not a big fan of his personally as far as being quarterback. I did feel bad. He broke his ankle last year, and you know, I don't want to see him go down in flames. I just don't like Dallas. But he did, before the NFL made him find him, he did say, I did it. And I was wrong. And to that, I give him a lot of credit. Because in our day, that's not, he said, I did it, I was wrong, shouldn't have done it, it was dumb, stupid, emotions, I'm not making excuses, but it was emotions, he paid the fine, he's going on. Hope he lives and learns. That's worthy of what we should do. Yep, you know what, let me get this right, let me do this right this time, and move forward in God. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. You're here this morning, you're not right with God. You're not saved, you're not born again. Jesus Christ wants to touch your life, save your soul. And I wonder if you're here this morning, you want prayer. Judging your life, you're saying, you know what, I've done a lot of things I'm ashamed of. I've done a lot of things I shouldn't have done. We don't need to know all the details. We just want to pray a simple prayer with you. Lead you to Jesus. Let your life be changed. That's you this morning. Slip up your hand. Pray for me. I'm not right with God. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe no one else would know, but you know. God knows. Slip up your hand very quickly. Pray for me. Anyone at all? Okay, changing the call then to Christians. I'm not preaching this to condemn you. I'm preaching this to warn you. It is easy to be critical about other people. Miss the understanding of faithfulness. And not remember that God's going to judge you as well. And so are you needing, again, we will make judgments on other people. That's reality of life, for good or for bad. But are we going to judge ourselves with the measure that we use for others and have the ability to do what is right? Let's all stand. These altars are open. Worship God. What song are we singing? Holy of Holies. Out of courts unto the holy place. Take a coal. Take a coal. Cleanse my lips here. Let's give him praise this morning. Let's worship his name. Father, we love you. Oh,